Now I've got to preach. Wow. And many of us have heard that scripture that Gene read this morning. Thank you, Gene, for it. Many times, especially the last part about neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Very often we hear these as part of a funeral service. They're a source of comfort, strength, a reward for life well spent, the conclusion of our life. In this context, the lesson from St. Paul to the Romans, that can seem a very strange, starting off with weakness, where our weakness is. Normally in the matters of the world, we never start off with a position of weakness. Like a salesman will never go into a meeting with the worst part of the presentation first. We like to begin with our strengths. Things with which give us credit, give us strength, strong, and position of being very forthright. You know, very often, have you ever noticed that when this happened to a couple of friends of mine, my mother was a little more sensitive than that. But sometimes they would bring their date home, and the mother would run into the bedroom, bring out a picture, and say, look at Johnny when he was 6 months old, naked on the basketball. And really embarrassed the guy, that's for sure. Well, here we are at the beginning of this lesson, speaking of our weakness, our inability to pray. That's what this talks about, such a basic activity. It says, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Through our gut-wrenching groanings, the Spirit comes to us and gives us power, the Holy Spirit, beyond our own ability to pray. Let's face it, we need help because we're just humans. There's so much more that we can do. We're like the little girl, Janie. Janie was 6 years old and she came back from her first day at school. And her mom asked her if she learned a lot at school, and she said, I guess not enough because I've got to come back tomorrow. Well, the same Janie went to Sunday school that weekend, attended children's church and Sunday school, and her parents picked her up, and mom said how she liked it. She said, it was great, and we sung a song about a bear. But such a poor bear, because he had a problem with his eyes. His name was Gladly. What an unusual name, her dad broke in and said. Janie said, yes, but everybody in children's church stood up and sang this song about the bear. Gladly the cross I bear. I'm supposed to have a picture, but that didn't work out. Well, very often there are ways in which we're like little Janie, in our own innocent way, in our own feeble humanity, try to pray. Try to understand and communicate with God. Well, when we acknowledge the superpower of God, we can become obedient to the Holy Spirit and let that Holy Spirit come into our life. And then we're forgiven. We are empowered. We're directed. We're given an understanding of what resources we can have. We are prepared for our eternal role. We can't handle it by ourselves. We have to listen to God's direction. Well, like the day when Charlie Brown stopped by at the psychiatric help stand, 5 cents per session, to talk with Lucy. He confesses and says, my trouble is that I never know if I'm doing the right thing, Lucy. I need to have someone around who can tell me when I'm doing the right thing. Lucy says, okay, you're doing the right thing. That's 5 cents. So Charlie Brown trunks down his money and walks away with a big smile on his face. In a few minutes, he comes back and with a frown. And Lucy says, back already? What happened? Charlie Brown said, I was wrong. Your advice didn't help. Well, she said, you need more in life than having someone to tell you around when you're doing the right thing. Now you really learned something. You have to have someone around more than just yourself. You have to do it with help. That'll be another 5 cents, please. Well, C.H. Dodd, a great biblical scholar, understands the scripture when he says, prayer is the divine in us, appealing to the divine above us.
This is how we prepare ourselves day by day, life by life, minute by minute. God can help us. Sometimes we face problems, don't we? And they seem to be never ending. All we can do is cry out to God. And strangely and beautifully, if we cry out to God and let Him help us, we can understand the need to have God with us. When we are in the midst of troubles, they seem to be monumental. I liken it to walking down a road and coming up against a great big rock that you can't get around. They seem to be monumental. But after having put our faith in God and wandering down that road with God's help, we look back and we see those milestones, and they get smaller and smaller as we move on. Classic story of a person's life being made strong by seemingly unsurmountable odds is someone who's with us today. That's my wife, Betty. Many in the congregation know that at age 13, and maybe a lot of you don't know either, she was abandoned by her mother, sexually abused by her stepfather, and put out on the street to fend for herself. I guess she was inconvenient at that time. Her story is one of self-reliance and using all the resources at her command without compromising her values. Well, the end of this very horrific story still has a very bad memory, but the integral part is that she is who she is today, and the strength that she has today is from this bad situation, but also a result of a very fragile part of her nature. God opens the door to our life in many ways. Even Jesus knew the meaning of this, of going through a tough time when he on the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then he heard the Father cry out back to him, and he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And there was peace, and the work was done. This Greek Stoic philosopher who lived at the same time as Paul, Epictetus, said, have courage to look up to God and say, deal with me as you will from now on. I am as one with you. I am yours. I flinch from nothing, so you think that that's good. Lead me where you will. Put me on what task you will. Would you have me stay or flee, be rich or poor? Just have me. God is the builder. We are the agents. God is the designer. We are the workers. So what does that mean for us today? Listen to God and do what He wants. The ability to listen to God doesn't always happen right away. It takes time. It took me decades to really understand and listen to God. I was so often trying to tell God what I wanted, and tell God to hurry up and get things done. Well, it's like this little story of Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. Sometimes it takes a bit to sink in. How do I find out? Well, how do you find out what things are good and what things are bad? It depends upon what fruits come of your actions. If they're good fruits, it's good. It comes from God. If it's not, it comes from the world. I love the movie starring Robert Duvall and the Apostle. He was a guy like almost like King David. He was a murderer. He had a tough time in life. But he had a heart for the Lord, like King David, like we've been talking about for the last winter. He wasn't sure what to do for the Lord. He said, he was on the bus. He said, I'm going to get off at the next stop. All I'm going to do is say, Lord, direct me, and I'm going to start walking. And he walked into a wonderful ministry. What faith. There's a definition of prayer, which is conversation with God, but most people have trouble with dialogue, you know, two-way conversation. Instead, our prayers sound more like a monologue. Do we pray to smooth out our world? Are we students that have not studied for tests, but we ask for God for help without studying? That's kind of difficult. Or we like the widow who said, why did God take my husband away? Well, God didn't take your husband away. Look at what happened from the Garden of Eden. God made everything perfect. But then we messed it up, even after after the flood, the human situation that took God's perfect world and made it very imperfect. Consider the comment of Martin Luther, who we sang his "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," that he wrote that too. He was sitting at dinner, and his dog, by the name of Topo, was staring at him eating his roast beef. And Martin Luther said, "If I could only pray the way the dog watches my meat on my plate. All his thoughts are concerned on this piece of the meat, otherwise he has no wish, no hope, nothing else than to concentrate." He said, if only I could pray that way. Our weakness, in contrast to the world's view, is only the beginning of our strength. The Spirit helps us. We're not alone in weakness. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Spirit will help you, will mentor you, will be coached. Well, the actor Dick Van Dyke tell a little story about a girl who was asked by her mother if she said her nighttime prayers. And she said, "Yes, Mother, but when I got down on my knees and began thinking, God hears all the same stuff all the time about my life." And so what I did, I told them the story of the three bears. I thought God would like to hear the story of the three bears. Do we pray the same stuff to God every night? Just think about what's in your soul and what you need to say. Now, for those who were brought up in ecumenic, not liturgical churches, how many were brought up in those liturgical churches where you said the Apostles' Creed and you had a certain lesson every week and every, a few of you. Well, listen to the Nicene Creed, the part of the Nicene Creed. It was written in 325 A.D. "And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is together worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets." Look at that power that we have in our hands. The Spirit of God and giver of life, who spoke by and for the prophets. Remember, in creation, the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the earth. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was the Word. God the Father and the Spirit. And the Bible says, "Let us make man in our own image according to our likeness." What power there is, what image there is that we can have for ourselves. This summer, I suggest that we read the book Heaven by Randy Alcorn. In this book, we're going to look at what the Bible says about heaven. We're going to do it again. We did it 8 years ago. And now it's time to take another look at our eternal home from a perspective of 2016. Things have changed a lot in the last 8 years. Let's take a look at that. And we're going to be talking about that starting next week. And then as we read that lesson, we come to a certain shift in thought. Rather than a further discussion of the role of the Spirit, the sentence, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose." All things work together for good? Are you kidding me, God? Are you kidding me? All things work together for good? How can we really say that? Like the old saying is, God is in His heaven, is all right with the world. Well, there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is that God is not in this heaven and all is not right with the world. Suffering is aggravated by people who do the suffering in isolation. They would say, "You wouldn't understand," or "You don't understand." That's probably very true. But the good news is we might not be able to understand somebody else's sufferings and problems, but we can listen. We can empathize. We can be with them. That's so important. But the good news is that God understands. The terrible isolation with people who do not have God is that they are alone. Our sufferings, our sorrows, our problems are all understood by God. Look what He, through His Son Jesus, went through. Don't blame God upon your sufferings, your losses, your pain. Give credit to whom it should be given, and that is the work of the devil. And since we will suffer, it makes sense to us to understand the effect of suffering. firstly, we should not go around looking for more ways to suffer. There's enough going around now for all of us, that's for sure. But in our sufferings, we need to be clear that God is with us. The fact of suffering is to take that and make ourselves stronger. What Paul means when he says, what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Who can be against us? We can make a list of that, can't we? Most of us can provide a long list. Like, the refrigerator stops right after you get a whole bunch of expensive meat. Well, the computer swallows that file that you worked on it all day, and all of a sudden it's gone. The car won't start when you're late for a critical meeting. The plumbing gets clogged in the middle of winter time. Who is against us? Well, these are people who are taking delight and trying to make us look sound foolish. Who is against us? Too often it is we who are against us. We dig a hole for ourselves. Even Paul said, the great evangelist, St. Paul said, the good that I would do, I do not, and that what I would do, I don't. Even Paul struggled with that. The really good news begins this lesson. Our weakness and our prayers are so important to bring God into our life daily. Have a prayer every time you think of anything that's going on in your life. Pray to God to come into your life. Finally, we will recognize the question to who is against us. Jesus intercedes for us, gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, and the creative nature of God the Father. We know about the good news. We know about separations. But there's one separation we will never face. And be sure to listen to this. This is the crux of our message today, and it means everything. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our survivor's guide to suffering. And that today is the